I want to join with Brett in welcoming those who are visiting with us. And we just certainly hope that the things we talk about this morning are going to be profitable to you. Actually, the song that we led before the collection is going to go quite well with the things that we're going to be talking about. If you'd like to open your Bibles to Colossians, the first chapter, I'm going to read from the New King James, beginning at verse 24. In this epistle, the Apostle Paul is giving words of encouragement to the saints, and he is calling upon them to follow his example in the life that he leads. And throughout this epistle and some other epistles, he really comes down hard on those who are trying to hold on to the law. But this morning in our reading, we're going to be talking about some very positive things that I think are going to be encouraging to us as Christians. And if you're not a Christian, I would hope that it'll present a picture of a service in a life in service to God, that it would be one that you would be attracted to and would desire within your own life. So reading from Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 24. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up my flesh, which is lacking in the afflictions of Christ, for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. What we find in this particular passage is a call for a life that is devoted to Christ. And what we want to do in this morning's lesson is look at this passage and see the things that we need to incorporate in our lives to see that indeed we are devoted to Christ. In the past year that we've been together, the lessons that I've tried to present to you have by and large been those lessons which would encourage us in our service to God and give us reason to live for the hope that is within us. I will tell you that in the coming year, we're going to talk about some more difficult issues that arise as children of God and the things that we must do even in those times as we strive to serve God. But this morning, we're going to center on the things that would be presented through this passage that will encourage us that we might do what is right and what is not always popular. And by doing what is right and not always popular, we are going to find that at times we're not going to have a very happy life as the world would want to put pressure on us. But even under those circumstances, we can have a life that is filled with a joy in our relationship to God. In fact, in some ways, some of the things we're going to present this morning are going to be somewhat paradoxical as we present them. As we've just read, we notice over in the 24th verse, he makes the point, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ. What he's telling us is that part of a life that is devoted to Jesus Christ is going to require unselfishness. Now the significance of this is that we live in a very, very selfish world. I don't believe that we're the first civilization that has such narcissism and selfishness within it. Perhaps us as a country finds it to be true. I would suggest that 1, 2, and 3 generations ago, it wasn't so. I want to confess to you a magazine that I'm receiving because my wife purchased something, and when we called to cancel it, it turns out it can't be canceled. So it comes once a week. I examine it briefly, and then it goes in the trash can. And if you subscribe to it on purpose, I'm just going to say right out, shame on you. Get rid of it. People Magazine. People Magazine is a magazine that is filled with nothing but narcissism. People caught up in who they are and what they're about, as if we as the common people would want to know the most trivial and insignificant things within the lives of people that have no sense of God within their lives, but simply a sense of what they're about. I suspect it's a popular magazine. Apparently, they believe that they're important enough that they're willing to give it away free to go into the garbage can very quickly after it arrives. But we live in a society that calls on us to be selfish. The idea of narcissism is to be self-centered. It's about me. As a child of God, no, it isn't about me. As a child of God, I need to understand that it's about Christ. And that's what my devotion to Christ begins with. And not only is it about Christ, but it's about others and willingness to stand with others even in the times of persecution, even in the times of difficulty. And while we at this time may not find ourselves in that particular sense of persecution, we're going to talk about that in a moment, nonetheless, when that persecution does arise, whatever form it takes, if we're not, first of all, finding ourselves unselfish, we're not going to be able to deal with the persecution that might lie ahead of us. The Apostle Paul certainly showed himself to be unselfish. He was willing to endure suffering for the cause of Christ. Over in Philippians, the 3rd chapter, reading verses 4, beginning at chapter 3, reading 4 through 8. If anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. What Paul's about to do is say, if you want to be a narcissist, I've got the right to be a narcissist. I've got the right above anybody else to be a narcissist. Here's what he says. Circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews concerning the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted lost for Christ. Indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all. Now let me just insert here. Of all the narcissistic things I had the right to proclaim about myself just a few lines earlier. Let me go back to the text now. For whom I suffer the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Concerning the law, I was a Pharisee. I was blameless. I count them as rubbish. Why? That I might gain Christ. That's the idea of unselfishness that the Apostle Paul manifested, exhibited, and is calling upon you and I to have in our lives. And again, I'm aware, and especially for our young people, you are bombarded with it Even we who are older have been bombarded with it through television, through movies, whatever we might read. And let me say, the things that we might read and the things that we might watch require of us having some type of filter. We as parents need to have filters for our children and not just assume that they will develop the filters they need. Because once we've reached that age of accountability, that age of reason, we are going to take on the things that are about ourselves. That's just what the nature of us will become once we have left a relationship with God that we had at birth. And if you are going to say, I'm devoted to Christ, then what you're also going to say is, I'm giving up self. The Apostle Paul calls upon us to do that. He calls upon us to have that attitude of not complaining about the problems that we have to encounter. Being a Christian is not about self. It's about serving Christ. And in serving Christ, we're going to be serving others. I sincerely fear that oftentimes we view being a Christian as having a list of sins that we're not committing. Hooray for me, I'm not a murderer. Hooray for me, I'm not an adulterer. Hooray for me, I'm not a homosexual. Hooray for me, I'm not a thief. Great. Don't commit adultery. Don't murder. Don't steal. But what service do you give to others? What service do you give not just to your brother and sister in Christ, but what service do you give to your community? The Apostle Paul says, if I have a life devoted to Christ, it's going to be a life that is unselfish. And it will be a service to Christ that I do so happily. There in Luke, the 9th chapter, in verse 23, Jesus says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. That's my responsibility as a child of God, to be willing to deny self. Now, I recognize that within this denying self, it also denies those matters of lust, those matters of passions that I had mentioned earlier, the sins I don't commit. But it's a life of serving as children of God. Look at His own actions. We consider there the night that He was betrayed. He's there in the upper room with His disciples. They're about to break bread and He's going to implement the Lord's Supper. So when He had washed their feet, taken His garment and sat down again, He said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you ought also to wash the feet of one another, or one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly I say to you, a servant is no greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. I want you to take just a moment and think about this. Christ is about to leave this earth. He's about to die for our sins. And this is one of the primary lessons, messages He gives His apostles. Be willing, no matter who you are in the kingdom. And these were going to be the apostles in the kingdom. No matter who you are in the kingdom, be willing to get down on your knees and serve. That's the message that He delivered. Paul goes on in the Philippian letter, and he talks about the fact that we as Christians need to be unselfish. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy in being like-minded, having the same love, being one accord of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only on your own interests, his own interests, but also on the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I've made this illustration in the past, and I'll make it again. Maybe because I'm not very creative. But it is simply this. You can't live your life as a child of God with your head buried in the sand like the ostrich and say, I see no place to serve. I see no one in need. I see no one needing anything that I can help them with. But again, I can list a whole bunch of sins I don't commit while my head is buried in the sand of all the service that I could give to others. Paul says, don't do it. That's selfishness. We go back to our reading in Colossians chapter 1. Of which I became a minister according to the stewardship of God, or from God, which was given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which had been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to His saints. The idea of being devoted to Christ Jesus means that I am going to be responsible. I am going to recognize that there are things I'm supposed to be doing. And let me say to you quite frankly, being here is important, but it should be a very, 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 very small fraction of what it means to be devoted to God, devoted to Christ Jesus. It's a small part of your responsibility. What does being here require of you? Coming into a building that is comfortable, with seats that are comfortable, singing a few songs, taking the Lord's Supper, listening to a preacher that apparently you're comfortable with, and that's why he's here. Knowing that the lessons aren't going to be real long, and they're going to be from the Word of God. And you're going to go away, I hope, edified or admonished, but nonetheless, you know, it's to your benefit. That's it. You're not asked to come in here and put up with a lot of misery in the way that you sit on some rocks that we have up here. And stumbling through this, that, and the other thing, it's not a miserable experience. I'm saying all that to say this. your presence better not be the totality of the evidence of your spirituality. And I by no means discourage your presence. I think it's required as a child of God. Not to come hear me preach, but to hear the Word and be strengthened by each other, whomever it might be that preaches the Word for us. Take on the responsibilities that are before us. Paul certainly had that sense of responsibility, that sense of stewardship. He even had it within the sense of preaching the gospel. Peter had that same notion, as he says there in 1 Peter the 4th chapter, verse 10. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Over in 1 Corinthians the 4th chapter, verse 12, Paul says, "And we labor, working with our hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we endure." All of this was from the sense of be responsible. Be responsible in your service to God. That's our responsibility. That's what God is calling us to. That's what Jesus taught for those who wanted to be faithful servants of His. I'll give you a somewhat long reading over in Luke, the 12th chapter. I've put it all on the screen. If you'd like to turn there, you can. But in the New King James, "Blessed are those servants whom the Master, when He comes, will find watching. Surely I say to you that He will gird Himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. And if He shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Then Peter said to him, "Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people?" And the Lord said, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, 'My master is delaying his coming,' and begins to beat the male servants and the female servants, and to eat and to drink and be drunken, and the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and in an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two, and appoint his portion to the unbelievers." What was he saying? Jesus is saying in very strong words that you need to take serious the task of being responsible. And we need to take serious the warning that is given. There will be no excuse for those who have not exercised their responsibility of serving others. Over in 1 Corinthians, Paul says in the 6th chapter, 19 and 20, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? And you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." When you think about the matter of responsibility, recognize every child of God here, recognize Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Don't get the temple of the Holy Spirit engaged in that list of sins we mentioned earlier. But don't let that temple of the Holy Spirit sit around and do nothing. Sit around and do nothing but avoid sins that are mentioned in Romans and mentioned in Galatians, where there are lists of sins of the flesh. Let that body that is the temple of the Holy Spirit be a body that is in service to others, and take responsibility for it. Continuing the reading, we note in 27 and 28, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. It requires then that we be teaching others. One of the things we're going to be talking about in the coming year, if the Lord wills, is the responsibility and the idea of personal evangelism. We're going to talk about what that means. I think most of us already know. We're going to remind each other that indeed it's our responsibility to be teaching one another. Paul said, "For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel." I understand that Paul is talking there about his own personal responsibility about being a gospel preacher, being an apostle of the Lord. And I recognize that oftentimes we look at that, and I certainly look at that as I talk to young men who want to preach, about that sense of, woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. Very quickly, as an aside, in Columbus, Indiana, we once had a man who told the elders and I that if indeed he had to preach the gospel, he just had to. We loved that attitude until we fired him about 2 months in. And the day that I told him that he was going to be out of the program, he said, "But I've got to preach." And I said, "That's what you told us, but you're not showing us evidence of that." He said, "You don't understand. If I don't preach, I'm going to be lost because I'll fall away." I said, "Man, is that what you meant?" He said, "Yeah." The elders and I said, "Oh boy, that wasn't much of an examination, was it?" He thought if he preached the gospel, that would help him to stay faithful. No. The first responsibility is to each and every one of us to be devoted to Christ, sharing the gospel with others, and then perhaps some among us would desire to stand in a place such as this, as I'm doing now, and sharing on a larger scale. But that doesn't negate the responsibility of each and every one of us to be preaching the gospel to others in whatever your ability, whatever your capacity. In the bulletin last Sunday on the front page, in bold print, it asked if you had said one thing to somebody last week. That same message is on the back page of the bulletin this morning. Have you said just one thing to somebody about Christ this past week? Jesus says in John, the 4th chapter, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me." In Matthew 28, he says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. which was just to go and make disciples, teach them to do what I just taught you to do. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the ages. Amen. We see that being carried out as we go to the book of Acts. In the 5th chapter, so they departed from the presence of the council, Peter and John having just been rebuked, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. And daily in the temple and in every house they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. By the time we come to the 8th chapter, in verse 4 of Acts, therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the Word. The idea was, as Jesus said, that indeed we are a light to the world there in Matthew the 5th chapter. That light means that we are not going to be hidden. We're on a hill. Others can see us. Everyone here who has named Christ, who has been buried with Christ, is commanded of God to be an individual who stands as a light to the world. I recognize that we live in a rather religious, pretty religious community. It's not like being in some of these big cities where ungodliness is just so pervasive. And I realize that we have it here. But by and large, most of us live among people who are God-fearing Americans. But you still need to stand out as a light to the world. That's the responsibility that we have. Paul told Timothy in the 2nd chapter, chapter 2 and verse 2, and the things which you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful people. In the original language, this was mankind, men and women. Why? Who will be able to teach others also. Peter says there in the 2nd chapter, of 1 Peter verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. What's your responsibility? What are you called to do? Praise God. And I hope you're praising God. It's easy to praise God here because everybody around you is praising God. Are you going to look for opportunities this week to praise God? I would hope so. I would hope that would be what you would desire to do. The final point that's put forth here is in verse 29, to this end I also labor, striving according to His working, which works in me mightily. If I'm going to have a devoted life to Christ, then it requires strength. Amen to that. Paul said there in 1 Corinthians 16:13, watch, stand fast in the faith, and be brave, be strong. Peter says in the fifth verse, who is kept by the power of God, through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In other words, we as children of God are required to have strength. We get strength through the Word. We get strength by association with one another. In Philippians, he says in verse 13 and then in verse 19 of chapter 4, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. And in verse 19, and my God will supply all your needs according to His riches in the glory by Christ Jesus. Indeed, it requires strength for each and every one of us. So we close this morning by simply asking, is your life devoted to Christ? If it is not, then we are about to invite you to come to the light of Jesus Christ, to have your sins washed away and to be ready to walk in newness of life. We're about to sing a song of invitation, and if you find yourself in darkness and believe Jesus to be the Son of God, all you need to do, and that's not going to show up well at all, so I'll just tell you, what you need to do is believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins. But that's not all. You've got to determine that you're going to turn away from serving Satan and you're going to come to Christ and confess Him as the Son of God and be buried in the waters of baptism to put on Christ. That'll bring you into the light. If you need that in your life today, don't let this moment pass. If you're a child of God that desires that we pray with you, we'll pray together. But whatever your need, if you would come and have a seat at the front, we'll assist you as best we can as we stand together and sing the song of encouragement.